We're holding on page one with Aleph in Megillah, about the middle of the page, middle of our Schofes. And we're in the middle of the Gemara's explaining why the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are in the order that they are. So far, we've covered the first half of Shemoneh Esrei through the brach, through Birkas Hashanah, through the brach of Baruch Aleinu. So now, continuing, the Gemara says, "Umar ro one kibbutz Golias la'acha Birkas Hashanim." Why did the Anshe Knesset Gedolah decide that the next thing after Birkas Hashanim should be the bracha of kibbutz Golias, the bracha of Tkabashofa? Dichtiv, the reason is because the pasuk says, "Va'atem hore Yisrael." The Navi says to the Navi Yechezkel says to the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, "You mountains of Yisrael, anpechem titenu, you will give forth." You will give forth your branches, ofer yechem tisu, and you will bear fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my Jewish people, ki kervu lavoi, because they're coming very soon. So we see that Kibbutz Golias and Birkas Hashanim, the fact that the trees are producing lots of fruit, those two things go together. In fact, Maharsha refers in this connection to a Gemara that says in Sanhedrin, the clearest indication you have that the Geula is on its way is that you see that the trees and the fields of Eretz Yisrael are producing fruit, as we have in fact now. So that shows that the Geula really is very close. So, because you have that pasuk expressing that point, like this, you have the Navi describes how throughout all the time of Golus, Eretz Yisrael was so desolate, and everybody always thought it's a cursed country and whatever. And now, when the Jewish people return to it, then everybody's going to really see that it's the source of all brachas in the world. This is the Yechezkel describes how all the goyim throughout all the generations have thought that Eretz Yisrael is a horrible place. Because they always saw it's desolate, nobody manages to make a living over there. Now Rashi points out, and the real reason is because Rashi points out in Parshas Bechukos in the Teuchacha, the Shamu alei oyveichem. Whenever your enemies live in Eretz Yisrael, they're always desolate. They never manage to make anything of it. Only we Jewish people are because it's our land. It's land that the Eibishter reserved for us. But you know, I've mentioned this here before. You know, like this sometimes. Sometimes the clearest indication of how the goyim think is from them themselves. You have a famous American writer, Mark Twain. He visited Eretz Yisrael in the 1860s, you know, because it's part of their religion and all that. And he describes how the place is so desolate and empty and uncultivated and unsettled. And how could anybody have ever lived here? And how could it be this beautiful, fertile land that's described in Tanakh? Well, if he were alive 100 years later, he'd see it. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, and that's what Maharsha is saying. We see in that Gemara in Sanhedrin that that shows that it really is the Geula is coming very close. But therefore, but therefore, the point is, therefore, that is why the Chachamim put that is why the Anshe Knesset Gedolah put together. They put one after the other. Birkas Hashanim, where we ask Hashem to make the earth fruitful and plentiful, and the bracha of Kibbutz Golias, because those two things go together. Next, continues the Gemara. The Kibbutz Golias. Now, once the Golias are gathered together, once the Jewish people are gathered together in Eretz Yisrael, Nasa Din Barashoyim. At that point, it's time for the Rishoyim to be judged. Shenemar, as we find the pasuk, "Va'ashiva yodi alayich," Hashem says, "I will return my hand upon you," meaning that I. So in context, what it means is, in other words, Hashem is saying there's going to be the yisurim of Golus, the etzrif kabur sigoyich. I will purify, I will refine out all of your dregs and your dross. Meaning, in other words, there's going to be the Navi is describing there are certain people who may not make it to the Golan mitzvah v'ashlema, at least not under their own schosim. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk continues, and then the pasuk. The point is, in other words, that so you have the Jewish people are going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael with the Geula Amitis Vashlema, and then and the pasuk continues, "Va'ashiva sheftaich kevod rishona," I'll restore your judges as they were originally. So just like, and the next pasuk continues, "Tzion mimishpati padeh v'shaveh b'tzedaka." So therefore, there's a connection between Kibbutz Golias and the Rishoftim. Now the bracha, "Hashiva sheftenu," is not really talking directly about the Rishoftim punishing the Rishoyim. That's really the next bracha. But the point is, once there are Shoftim, then that makes it possible to punish the Rishoyim the way that they need to be. That's the Vasira, the Etzrif Kabor Sigoyach, that the Shoftim are going to have the job of doing that, of cleaning up the Jewish people.
I have a question. After what the Arabs did to the Yidden, Yimap Shimon, those Arabs, When they did that with Simcha Sardis Pelis,
that is true. So we're not saying.
What is Hashem doing? Why does he let that go down? And he doesn't.
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question, and it's something that we can bring about another time. But now let's continue. There is no answer. It's true. Right now, let's continue learning, and that's our answer right now. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. V'kivin shenase din min ha-reshoyim. Once the reshoyim are judged, kolu ha-minim. So now the minim are gone because the minim are a group of reshoyim. In particular, Rashi explains that minim are people who don't believe that Torah comes from Shemayim. V'kolu zedim im ha-minim, and together with you. So when you say in the bracha v'lam ha-shinim, now by the way, it's worth pointing out the Gemara always calls it birkas ha-minim. Now you have, this is one of those brachas that has been naturally tampered a lot with the censors over the years. You have, in fact, an older Siddurei Chabad, you have a couple of words missing, which now in the newer Siddurim have been restored, but you have even, it seems, from older Kisvei Yad, and for example, from the Rambam Seder, Atfilah, whatever, the original version of the bracha, it seems, began Lamini, whereas our version, the way the Alter Rebbe said it, begins Vala Malshin, and only later do we mention the Minim in the middle of it.
Okay.
So,
Lamashinim
means informed.
What's the exact type of meaning?
That's what I just said. Minim Rashi defines over here as people who don't believe that Torah is Minas Shamayim. The Rambam, actually, in Hilchas, the Rambam, in Hilchas Shuvah, gives a whole taxonomy. You have Minim, and you have Kofrim, and you have Apikorsim, or whatever, because remember the Rambam is 13, it has 13 Ikrim of Yiddishkeit, and so the Rambam defines that you have, there's a group of people who don't believe in certain fundamental things about Hashem. They don't believe Hashem exists, they believe there's more than one, they believe he has a goof, etc. That's one group. Then you have, they're the ones who are called Minim. Then you have the ones who believe that, for example, that Hashem doesn't speak to people, or the Torah is not Minas Shamayim, or whatever. They're called Apikorsim. And then you have people who don't believe in the various other things, in Tzchar Va'onish and Tchias HaMesim. So
that's going on the Yidden, or it's also
the Pashtos, we're talking about Yidden primarily. I mean, the original purpose why they made the Birkas HaMinim is you had a variety of different groups. You had Tzedukim, you had the early Christians, you had various ones who were making life difficult for the Jewish people. Among them were also Taka ones who were informing on Jews to the Romans, and therefore Vala Malshinim is included in there. But it seems that maybe the original version of the Baracha first mentioned the Minim and had the Malshinim in there someplace only later, whereas we have it the other way around. In any case, the point is, the Gemara is saying that in that bracha, you also have to mention the Zaydim, the people who are doing Avedas deliberately and rebelliously against Hashem. So even if they're not Minim per se, they may believe in Hashem, but nevertheless, they're acting in a rebellious way towards Hashem. We have to daven that they should be broken, and etc., about them as well. So therefore, you have to include them. Shenemar, as the next pasuk continues in Yeshaya, the shever poshim b'chatoyim yachdav yichlu, the breakage of the poshim, of the ones who are rebelling against Hashem, and the chatoyim and the sinners yachdav yichlu, together they will disappear. So therefore, when you're saying a bracha about the reshoyim, about the minim or the malshinim, you have to include the zedim in there as well.
They're rebelling against Hashem on purpose, but maybe that also includes the fact that the Yetzirah took them over and cut control of them.
Whatever the case, the point is that they're rebelling. The point is actually, you know, you have in the Siddur, actually, if you look in the Bracha of Lamal Shinim, you'll find you have the expression over there, or Malchus Siddur, Shemera Sa'aker, or Shaber, or Smager, then there's a comma, the Sachniya B'mheir of Yamein. So what is it? It's explained, I think, in Hayyam Yom, that the first three, Ta'akos, Shabos, Maga refers to the Sholosh Klippas Atmeis, which have to completely be uprooted and removed and crushed and so forth. And then you have Klippas Nerga, which is only Besachnia. It has to be subjugated, doesn't have to be destroyed completely because it has Toiv in it. So you're mentioning Yidden who are led astray by the Yetzirah. Very well, they may be in the Besachnian class, but nonetheless, we still have to mention them in that broth. So therefore we do. We say V'chol HaMinim V'chol HaZedim Kerega Yevedu, so we mention the Minim appropriately. Marsha points out, by the way, now, you know, with the Gemara in Brachas tells us that the Bracha of Lamal Shinim was added only later. What happened in the original version of Shemana Esrei, the way the Anshech Nesak Dola put it together? We're saying over here, once you have the Shoftim, then the Minim disappear, and then the next thing is once the Minim disappear, then the Tzadikim's strength is exalted. What, when there's no Bracha of Lamal Shinim in there yet, then how does the flow go? So he says that the vote would be that then what you have is, again, the bracha Hashiva Sheftenu is sort of including also, as the Gemara had just said, about judging the Rishoyim. There is the bracha Hashiva Sheftenu. It doesn't actually mention judging the Rishoyim per se, but nevertheless, that's sort of included. As the Gemara said, when you have Sheftim, then they can judge the Rishoyim. So therefore, it still flowed naturally from there to go. Once the Rishoyim are out of the picture, then the Tzadikim are exalted. which is the subject of the next bracha ala tzaddikim. So it worked either way. Yeah, by the way, there are sidurim, there are Sfardish sidurim, where, you know, they put in a lot of kavonis into the words over there. You have, when we say in the bracha over there, Shiva Shiftenu, when we have the words, v'hosim v'enu yogin v'anocha, there's a note in there, api Kabbalah, that yogin and anocha refer respectively to samach mem and livus. So in that sense, we are asking in that bracha that evil and the rishoyim and then samach mem and livus, the samach mem is the malach of evil. Yogin v'anocha literally means sorrow and sighing. So we're asking, v'hosim v'enu, remove from us, yogin v'anocha, sorrow and sighing, umloich aleinu, and you alone, Hashem, rule over us. So we're saying, in those sidurim, it mentions, api Kabbalah, probably comes from Kisve Arizal or something, that yogin and anocha, the deeper sense, it refers not just to the troubles and sighs that we have on a regular basis, but it refers to the sort of the fountainhead of all evil in the world, which is samach mem and lilis. So therefore, you really do have in that bracha the idea of the rishoyim, of rishos being removed and gotten out of the world. Onward, the Gemara says, the kivan shekol minin, once the minim are out of the picture, Mr. Nemes, Karen Sadikin, now the wound, meaning the strength of the Rishoyim, is lifted up. The tzaddikim, that's right, the horn, the strength of the tzaddikim is lifted up. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, b'chol kaunei reshoyim agadeya, Hashem says, I will cut down all the strength of the reshoyim, terei mamna, kaunei tzaddik, the strength of the tzaddikim will be exalted. So we see that one goes right after the other, so right after v'lam al-shinim has to go ala tzaddikim. And v'kolo geriat tzaddikim at tzaddikim, when you say in that bracha, you have to list the geriat tzaddik in there as well. When you're listing all the groups of people that Hashem should have rachmanus on, ala tzaddikim, balach siddim, etc., you have our geriat tzaddik balim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, mipnei sevar tokum, this week's parasha. You should stand up in the presence of an aged person, which means, by the way, the Gemara says in Kedushin, it means any old person. The Gemara mentions that they're even a goy, you show him derech eretz and stand up for him. V'hadarta pnei zoken, you give honor to the face of the elder, which the Gemara explains there primarily means a tamad chacham, even if he's physically young, but he's zoken zeshakon chachma. The Samichle, and the next passage continues, V'chiyogu itchem ger, when a ger lives among you, then the Torah tells us don't insult him or wrong him or whatever. So we see...
It also goes on someone who's physically an older man, right?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah. Okay. So the Samichle, V'chiyogu itchem ger, so we see that tzaddikim, we see that v'adar t'pnei zokim, which means tzaddikim, tzaddikim goes together with gerim. So therefore, when we're saying ala tzaddikim, we have to mention the gerim as well. So that's why the brachas go in that order. Next. And we do mention this kainim in there as well, of course. Val zikne am chabes yisrael. Next, v'heichon mister memes kaunam. Where is their strength going to be empowered? Be Yerushalayim, specifically in Yerushalayim. And therefore, the bracha of Yerushalayim comes next. Now, Marsha points out, we don't mean necessarily this is not the kibbutz golius. Kibbutz golius we had before. That was the bracha tkab shofar. So here we're talking about that after the Jewish people, the kibbutz golius is before Yerushalayim is even completely resettled. There's already kibbutz golius. Then you have Yerushalayim is fully settled, and then you have the tzaddikim have their roimus keren. They have their strength is exalted over there. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, shalu shloim Yerushalayim, seek the peace of Yerushalayim. Yishloyu oyavoyich. Those who love you, which means the tzaddikim, who love Yerushalayim, should have peace. So therefore we see that therefore ala tzaddikim, necessarily the bracha of Yerushalayim follows next. It sounds like the tzaddikim are going to be living in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah. I mean, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to live there. First of all, I mean, it could be that the very fact, for example, you have the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Ksubas that says that who's considered a citizen of Yerushalayim, echad anolad bo ve'echad ametzapi l'roisa, whether a person was actually physically born in Yerushalayim or whether he's looking forward to being able to live there, he can also be considered that he was born and is a citizen of Yerushalayim. They tell a famous story in that connection. There was a Yid in the interwar period, during the period when the British ruled over Eretz Yisrael. He needed an official paper to be able to immigrate, and they needed if he can prove that he was born in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim or whatever, that he was born in Eretz Yisrael, then he'll move to the head of the line. So I think it was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld told him he can go and write that, even though he wasn't actually born there, based on that Gemara. He's looking forward to being in Yerushalayim. He's Metzapel L'Roisa, and therefore the Gemara says he can be called a citizen of Yerushalayim. Anyway, so the point is, the same thing over here. We don't necessarily mean that Lassid Lavi, every single tzaddik is actually going to live in Yerushalayim per se, but it means that they have their Makom Shemachshav Tshaladim, Shamu Nimsa, where a person is thinking. That's where he is. So if their thoughts are focused on Yerushalayim, then they're in Yerushalayim.
Also, the fact that
It also talks about the Yerushalayim is going to expand all the way to Damascus. Yeah, so there is that. Yerushalayim is actually going to be physically bigger as well. Yeah, it's true. Okay. The Kivin Shenivnes Yerushalayim Bod David. Once Yerushalayim is rebuilt, then David, then Mashiach is going to come. Meaning Rashi says, once Yerushalayim is built, now they need a king to rule over it, and therefore they're going to be seeking David. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Acha Yeshuvu Bnei Yisrael, afterwards, after the Golos and after the Geula, the Jewish people are going to be returning, Uvikshuas Hashem Alekehem, and they will seek out Hashem, their God, Ves David Malcolm, and their king David. The Medrash says on it that when the Aseres HaShvatim split off, they rejected three things. They rejected the Beis Mikdash, they rejected Malchus Beis David, and they rejected Hashem because they built the Egle Azav. So now, when is the Geula going to come? When they seek out and want to have back all these three things. So therefore, so we see in this pasuk that it mentions those two things, and actually the pasuk continues, so that refers to the Beis Mikdash as well. So therefore, in other words, in short, that's why the Bracha Es Tzemach goes after the Yerushalayim. Next, the Kivin Shabbat David Bas Tefillah. Once Mashiach has come, and in particular, Marsha adds that once he comes, one of the jobs of the king, as we know, is to build the Beis Mikdash. They have to wipe out Amalek. They have to be in peace in Eretz Yisrael from Amalek. They have to have a king, or actually the order is first a king, then Amalek, like we find with Shaul, and then they build the Beis Mikdash as David wanted to do when he was at peace. So now the Beis Mikdash is going to be built, and now Bas Tefillah, now you have the true davening. Now you have that there's a place, the Beis Mikdash is the ultimate Mokum Tefillah, and therefore that's why the Baruch Shema Keilenu comes next. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Babi Oisim Al Ha'ukad, Shia, Hashem says, I will bring them to my holy mountain, the Simachti Meves Tefilosi, and I will make them happy in my house of Tefillah. So we see that once we come to Yerushalayim and build the Beis Mikdash, then the next thing is that we'll have the Beis Tefillah over there, and Hashem will accept our Tefillahs over there. The Kivin Shabbos Tefillah, so therefore Shema Keilenu comes after Es Tzemach. The Kivin Shabbos Tefillah, Bos Avoida. The next thing after that comes the Avoida. Tefillah is Avoida Shabbalev. So therefore, so first we daven with the Avoida in the heart, and then we have Korbanos. Marsha points out, we have the same thing by the Chanukas Abayis of the first Beis Mikdash. First, Shlomo said a whole long Tefillah over there of 30 odd psukim, and then he brought a huge number of Korbanos for the Chanukas Abayis. So therefore, that's why the Baruch Ritzei, which is about the Avoida, the Hoshev HaAvoida of Rebbe Secha, comes next. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Oli Seim Vizifcheim Larotzen Amizbethi. That same pasuk, Vizimachtim Beveis Tfilosi, continues. Their Oilus and their Shlomim will be brought for favor on my Mizbeach, meaning that I will accept them with faith. So therefore, after Vizimachtim Beveis Tfilosi, comes Oli Seim Vizifcheim. By the way, in the times of the Beis Mikdash, the Nusach of that Baruch was slightly different. Here we say, Vahoshev HaAvoida of Rebbe Secha. Then it was, back then, it was rather that Hashem should accept the Avoida that's being done in his holy house, that Hashem should continue to accept it. Some say also that the end of the bracha was different. Well, it had to have been different. We have the end, and then the Shekhinah was in Tzion already. There was a different nusach of the end of the bracha. And in fact, the nusach Ashkenaz to this very day, they say that on days when there's duchening in Musaf, then they end the bracha with that instead as an evocation of how it was in the times of the Beis Mikdash. Oh, nusach, of course, as we say, Amachzah Shekhinah Tzion always. Anyway, the kibin shabos avoida bos haidah. The next thing is once there's avoida, then there's hoidah. Then there's, now the word hoidah can actually have two meanings. It can mean thanks, as in to thank Hashem that we have the ability to do that. But Marsha says actually here it means more meloshin vidu, that a person, when a person brings his korban, he says vidu yani. That's when he brings a chatas or an ashram or what have you. The truth is, actually, that the Rambam explained, we know when a person says, when brings a korban toda, then of course he thanks Hashem for it. He says, mizmul asoda. And the Rambam says, when a person brings a shlomim also, then he says, praises to Hashem. So really it can mean both. But when we're talking about a person is bringing korbanos that he has to because he did some aveira, then he says, vigur on it. So that's the hoidah includes both of those points, both thanks and confession. Shenema, as the prophet says, Zeveach Toda Yechabdonani, the one who offers a Toda will honor me, Hashem says. So we see that after the Zeveach, there has to be Toda. So therefore, that's why after Ritzeh, after the Baruch of Avoda, next comes Moid. Next, Umaro Loim Birkas Koinim Achaveda. So now, why did the Chachamim, why did the Anshe Knesset Hagdola decide that the next thing over there should be Birkas Koinim when the Chazan repeats Shmoneh Esrei? And by the way, of course, you know, we Ashkenazim do it only in Musaf, on Yom Tov, except Simchas Torah, we do it in Shachris. As we know, Sfardim in pretty much all places in the world, and most Ashkenazim, do it in Eretz Yisrael, do it every day. which is really the way it's supposed to be. It's brought famously that the Alter Rebbe wanted to reinstate it every day, but he wasn't able to be poil it. Anyway, so why is Birkas Kohanim at that point? Dichtiv, as we find the pasuk by the Chanukas Abayis of the Mishkan, by Yisa Aaron as Yoder ala Om Vayivorchem, Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and benched them with Birkas Kohanim, by Yered, and then he came down from the Mizbeach, Me'asois HaChakas Va'Ola Shlomim, from having brought the Chakas and Ola and Shlomim. So we see that he did Birkas Kohanim after he did the Avodah of the Korbanos. So if you want to ask Ema Kodim Avodah, fine, but in that case, the Pasuk is listing Birkas Kohanim before the names of the Korbanos. So maybe it means that Birkas Kohanim should be before Avodah, before Ritzei. And the answer is Loi Sakradaydach. You can't think that way, Dichtid by Yered Me'asoy Sachatas for Gomer, because after all, the Pasuk says he came down from having done the Chatas and so forth. Niksiv lasos. Now it doesn't say it came down in order to now start doing the chakas and so forth. Me astos ksiv. It says he came down from doing it, implying that he had already done it. He had already brought those korbanos, and now he's giving Birkas Kohanim to the people. So therefore, we see that Birkas Kohanim comes after Avoda. And since, as we said, Avoda and Hodah go together, that is why Birkas Kohanim is put in at that point. With that said, there is a connection between Birkas Kohanim and Avoda in that we have the halacha that if a Kohen has not left his place to start coming up to the Duchan before the end of Ritzei, before the end of the Bracha Avoda, then he can't anymore. So there is, after all, a connection. He has to at least start being on his way. He doesn't have to actually reach the place in front of the Aron Kodesh before the end of Ritzei, but he has to at least start moving from his place. Okay. So I'm going to ask, ve'ema acha ha'avoida. Okay, so fine. Maybe what it means is, so fine. So maybe you do Ritzei, then, which is about the avoida, then Birkas Kohanim, and then Hoidah, then Moidim. And the answer is, lo sakadai d'chtich ve'ach toida. No, because we just said, you have the pasuk, ve'ach toida, that you have to bring the korban, and with it has to go toida, has to go thanks or acknowledgement of avodas to Hashem. So I'm asked, okay, if you have two psukim, one of them implies that Birkas Kohanim goes right after the Avoda, and the other one implies that Hoidah goes right after Avoda. My chos is the Samchasaha. So why did they decide to rely on the one pasuk and put Zeveach and Toda one next to the other? Smoichaha, shouldn't they instead rely on the pasuk from Chumash, and therefore Avoda should go right before Birkas Kohanim? And the answer is, Mistabra, fine, but it's logical Avoda v'Hodah, Chodem Milsi, it's logical that Avoda and Hodah go together, because after all, Hodah itself, Rashi points out, is an Avoda to Hashem as well. When a person thanks Hashem, or when a person acknowledges his Avedas to Hashem, that's also an Avoda to Hashem. Therefore, it really is a direct, it's not just a matter of a pasuk, it's also a svara that those two go together, and therefore we're going to put Birkas Kohanim only after the two of them.
The
fact is, when a person is bringing a korban, he has to confess his averus to Hashem. He has to say, Chatzalsi Avis Parshayti, and I did such and such. Afterwards, he can thank Hashem that he was forgiven, but that's a different matter. Okay, next. Why did the Chachamim then decide that Sim Shalom should go after Birkas Kohanim? Maybe it should go before Birkas Kohanim. The Ritva explains that the question is, maybe why do we even need the Bracha Sim Shalom at all? Maybe the Chachamim should have arranged that we end Shemana Esrei with Birkas Kohanim. So the reason is, because how does Birkas Kohanim end? The Samor Shmia B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk after it, they will place my name on Jewish people, V'ani Avorachem, and I will bless them, Hashem says. There's a Machlokas in Chulin, by the way. Does that mean Hashem will bless the Jewish people, meaning that Hashem gives that Hashem empowers the Kohanim to bless us, or does it mean that the Kohanim bless us and Hashem blesses the Kohanim? It's a Machlokas in a Gemara in Chulin. It is both of them. It is both of them. But the fact is, the Gemara in Chulin presents it as a machlokas. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, so Hashem is giving a bracha, and bracha da kodesh baruch hu shalom, the primary bracha that Hashem gives us is peace. Shenema, Hashem yivorech hasami b'shalom. Hashem will bless his people with peace. And of course, Birkas Kohanim itself, the Marshal points out, Hakola l'chacha achasima, everything, the main thing is the end, and the end of Birkas Kohanim is v'yosem l'chasholim. Therefore, the last thing we want to have in Shemana Esrei is a bracha asking Hashem to give us shalom and thanking him for giving it. Hamavorech hasama Yisrael b'shalom. And therefore, that's the end of Shemana Esrei. In principle, then all you have is Yehu L'Ratzin. Later on, the Gemara mentions in Brachas, various Chachamim would add Tachnunim after davening, and eventually the Gemara brings a number of different ones that different Chachamim would say, and eventually it was established that a L'Kai Netzor is set out. Now, we said at the beginning of this description that Shimon HaPkuli had arranged these 18 brachas in front of Rav Gamliel. Now, that was either right before or more likely right after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the question is, if already hundreds of years earlier, the 120 Zkenim, including many Nevi'im of Anshech Nes Sagdola, had set up the 18 brachas of Shemana Esrei in this order, as the Gemara has just explained the order, Shimon HaPkuli, my history, then what's Shimon HaPkuli's contribution? What did he arrange? It's already arranged from before him. And the answer is, Shochum B'chazer V'sidram. They had forgotten it, and then he reestablished the order. Now, what do you mean forgotten? Ben Yehoyada argues that it means it can't be they forgot the actual order. People are davening Shemana Esrei three times a day. They can't possibly have forgotten the order. What it means is, he says, it means they forgot the reasons that the Gemara has just given over here, why the brachas are in the order that they are. So Shimon HaPkuli didn't reestablish the order. It already existed hundreds of years before him, but he established why are they in this order, based on all the drushes from the psukim and all the logical basis and everything that the Gemara has just spent an omur discussing. With that said, there are other possibilities that different achronim bring up, including one of them is bichlal. There's a din that you're allowed to add me'ena bracha in any bracha of Shemana Esrei except for the first three and the last three. So you can have an atachonin, for example. You're about to take a tough test. You can ask the Eibishter to give you extra intelligence to pass the test. You have a particular avera that you're having a hard time doing tshuva with. You can ask for extra help with it in hashivenu and so forth with each of the brachas.
Say that loud of a covenant.
No, you say it to yourself. I mean, you're saying the whole Shemana Esrei quietly to yourself. We're not talking about chazaras hashatz. We're talking about the shtilah Shemana Esrei. Now, therefore, so what may have happened is over time, people added such things, and remember, Sidurim weren't even written down yet, so it became, but there came a point when nobody remembered the original Nusach anymore because there had been so many things like that that were added. So therefore, according to that, it would be not so much that Shimon HaPkuli rearranged the order, but rather that he restated what the actual Nusach is supposed to be. Bechlal, not necessarily is there one Nusach to begin with. Famously, we know the Mezucha Magid says there were 13 basic Nuschos, one for each Shevet, and one the Shara Kolo for anybody who doesn't know what Shevet he's from. So that may also be what Shimon HaPkuli did, is to fix that up, what the actual 13 original Nuschos are. Another point is, Bechlal, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, that a person, there's different opinions of Tanoim over there. There's an opinion, I think, of Rav Gamliel that says a person does not have to daven the full Shemana Esrei every day. Most of the time, he can say the paragraph Havinenu. He can say the first three brachas and then the paragraph Havinenu and the last three brachas, where Havinenu is sort of a short version of the middle 13 brachas of Shemana Esrei. It includes like a few words or a line representing each of the brachas. Havinenu, Hashem Elokeinu L'dasa Sturachecha, representing Atachonin, Umerlos L'Ovenu L'Yurasecha, corresponding to Kashivenu, V'sislach Lanu, corresponding to Slach Lanu, and so forth. So what may have been is many times people were doing that and therefore they'd forgotten the actual, that there were actually 13 full brachas that are supposed to be said, and therefore Shimon HaPkuli had to reestablish that.
So press for time.
That's when you press for time, basically. Yeah. When you press for time, yeah, and you have dinim about it that are brought in the Gemara in brachas and are brought from there in Shulchan Aruch. You can't say it during the winter because you have to say the same Talamata. You can't say it Motzah Shabbos because you have to say Atachonin. Yeah, you have certain rules about it, but yeah, in principle, such a thing exists, and there are Tanoim in Masechta Brachas that say that you could say it all the time. So therefore, over time, people may have forgotten that there were actual separate brachas.
Too.
There's something else as well. The Mishnah mentions there in Brachas, you have an even shorter thing that begins Tzorche Amcha Yisrael Merubim, that a person says when he's poshut, not able to daven Shemana Esrei at all. It's one short paragraph. The difference being that when a person davens Havinenu, he has been Yotze Shemana Esrei. He doesn't have to daven later on when things are calmer. Whereas if he says Tzorche Amcha, then he's not actually been Yotze Shemana Esrei, and he'll have to daven later on when there's time. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so there's a few possibilities of what Shimon HaPkuli contributed exactly. Okay. Next, the Gemara says Mikan ve'elach. Now, beyond that, beyond these 19 brachas that we have in Shemana Esrei, also the sapa b'shvachet shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to tell over the praise of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, obviously, all the time we say Baruch Hashem and things like that. It means b'kvius bracha. Means to establish a bracha, or to establish a text within a bracha, that we're going to add this as a praise of Hashem, you're not allowed to do that.
Don't create your own bracha.
Right, basically. Yeah, the Omer Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv, Rabbi Elazar says, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk, mi yimalo vurdas Hashem, who can express the powers of Hashem, yashmiya kol tehillah, so the one who can make heard all of his praise. So in the simple meaning, the pasuk says, who can express all the in a simple meaning, the word mi goes on both halves of the pasuk. The Rishonim, the Mefoshim, I'm Psukim, often called this thing Moshech Acher Imai, that the word mi goes on both halves of the pasuk. Mi Yamal Gurus Hashem, mi Yashmiya Kolti Lasi. But the Gemara is understanding it as a question and answer. Lami nor l'mal gurus Hashem. To whom is it appropriate to speak the praises of Hashem? Lami sheyochol Hashmiya kol teilasei. Only a person who is able to express the entire praise of Hashem. And since nobody can possibly do that, so that means don't try on your own to be m'malo gurus Hashem. Say what the Chachamim established for you and leave it at that. In fact, in the Gemara in Hodias, brings this Lashon and has a different take on it. It means also that the Yashmiya Kol Teilasei, in the sense of a person who knows the entire Torah, where the Torah is a praise of Hashem. So when a person knows the entire Torah, then he's worthy to Yamalo Gvoros Hashem. So therefore, that kind of fits with this as well, because it means therefore the Anshek Nesagdola, who are on the level of Yashmiya Kol Teilasei, they're the ones who Yamalo Gvoros Hashem, they're the ones who could establish Shemoneh Esrei, but us not. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Now, Mar Shah points out, it means both, really. It means not only to not add a bracha of your own, it means to add a nusach within a bracha. You have, for example, the Gemara there's a Gemara in Brachas, and it's also later on in Or Masechta, where a person was davening by the Amud, and after a Kela Godel, a Gibbe Vanoda, he starts adding a whole bunch of other praises of Hashem, and then Rabbi Bohu tells him it's inappropriate to do that. We wouldn't even say a Kela Godel, a Gibbe Vanoda, if not that Moshe Rabbeinu said it. And later on, the Anshek Nesagdola said it, but you can't add things of your own. So both things are included. Yeah, then it was in Hilchos Tefila. Yeah, a week or a week and a half ago in Shlosha Prakim. Yeah, when you get down to it, in Shlosha Prakim, almost everything is pretty recent. The whole thing takes only a year, you know. Omer Rav Babachana, Omer Rav Yechanan, Hamasapa B'Shvacha Shalakadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Yidai. In this vein, if a person speaks about the praise of Hashem more than he should, Nekam in Ha'olam, he gets uprooted from the world. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hayisupar Loi, could it be told to him? Meaning, so the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like, can it be told to Hashem when I speak? How could a man possibly speak everything of the greatness of Hashem? So we're understanding it basically, Hayisupar Loi, could the Hayisupar, can it be told over the whole praise of Hashem? Loi, that I should speak to him, Ki Adaber, that I should speak, Im Omar Ish, if a person were to try to do that, Ki Yavula, then he would be swallowed up. So that's what he means, Nekam in Ha'olam. And the Gemara continues in this vein. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Ish Kfau Giburaya. Rabbi Yehuda from Kfau Giburaya said, Darshin, Ba'amilo Ish Kfau Gibur Chayil. Others say he came from a village called Gibur Chayil. My Dichtiv, what does it mean? The Pasuk can tell him, L'chod Yumiya Sehila. To you, Hashem, silence is praised. That means Sama Dekula, the best medicine, the best elixir of all, Mashtuka, is being quiet, not to talk too much. So Blacha, to you, Hashem, Dumiya, to be silent, where it's appropriate, Tehillah is the best praise of Hashem. He also said, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Amri B'marava, they have an expression in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Mila B'Sela, even if a word is worth as much as a sela, you might have something, a precious word, which is worth spending a sela on, mashtuka betrain, but silence is worth two sloyim. So it's worth twice as much. On the side of here, in Yad Yosef, it brings a girsa from the Oruch, mila kisela. A word might be like a stone, like a useless object. Mashtuka, whereas silence, ke'evan tova, is like not just any kind of stone, but a precious stone. We have in this past Shabbos's Pirkei Avos, we have Loi Matzasi LeGuf Toiv Mishsika B'Cholamav Dvarim Mevichet. The Rambam gives over there a whole taxonomy of the different kinds of speech. You have speech which is a mitzvah. You have speech which is a good thing to do, even though it's not quite the level of a mitzvah. You have speech which is allowed. You have speech which is outright osur, and so on. And you have speech which is not outright osur but inappropriate, and so forth. So that's the kind of thing the Gemara is talking about. A person has to know when to speak and when not to speak. Yeah, people speak. People do text messages, so they speak less. They texting itself is speaking also, you know. But yeah, okay. All right. Further on, the Gemara continues talking about dinim of reading the Megillah, which is, after all, the subject of this half of the Masechta. And it mentions a particular answer in that connection to a question that the Gemara had raised that Rab Acha says in the name of Rabbi Elazar. So now, as the Gemara often does, it brings another thing from the same Amora. Omer Rab Acha, Omer Rab Elazar, Minayin Shekroi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Yakov Kael. From where do we see that Hashem called Yaakov Kael? Kael means a powerful one. In a certain sense, it even means that he called him Hashem. Shenema, the pasuk says, by Yaakov Shom Mizbeach, Yaakov set up a Mizbeach in Shechem, by Yikra Loi, Kael Eleke Yisrael. And he called it, or he called him, the word Loi, of course, can mean both, Kael Eleke Yisrael. Now, Di Sakadaydachlam and Binizbeach, Kodela Yaakov Kael. If you're going to say that, it means that Yaakov called the Mizbeach Kael. And in the simple sense that Ashi mentions on the pasuk, that's what it means. It means, al derech, like we find, Tosfos brings over here, you have an example, Moshe builds a Mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Nisi, and Rashi explains, the Mizbeach is not called Hashem, but it means the name of the Mizbeach is Hashem Nisi. When a person sees the Mizbeach, he's going to remember that Hashem is my banner, and Hashem is the one who does Nisi for him. So, but the Gemara doesn't like that explanation, because if you're going to say that it means he called the Mizbeach, that he called the Mizbeach, Kela Lekei Yisrael, then Vayikra Loi Yach. The problem is that it should say that Yaakov called it. Vayikra lo Yaakov, and Yaakov called the Mizbeach, Kael Elokei Yisrael. And then fine, it would mean in a simple sense that whenever somebody sees the Mizbeach, he remembers Hashem is the God of Yisrael. Elo vayikra loy lo Yaakov Kael. Rather, it means the loy is not referring to the Mizbeach, it refers to him, to Yaakov. Umi kroy Kael. So who is calling him Kael? Elokei Yisrael. So in other words, we parse the pasuk as follows. Vayikra loy, Hashem called him, Yaakov, Kael. And who was that who did the calling? Elokei Yisrael. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he called Yaakov Kael? So Marsha refers to something that, first of all, Marsha points out also the Gemara would be bothered by if it just meant that he's calling the Mizbeach, that everybody, whenever they see the Mizbeach, should remember Hashem, then it should just say, Vayikra Loi Elokei Yisrael. What's the word Kael doing? Therefore, that's why the Gemara doubts it. Now, what does it mean? So he refers to the Ramban, says on the pasuk over there that there's a soid in it. There's a whole Kabbalistic secret over there. It includes the point that Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu's image is engraved on Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. So in other words, there's a certain closer connection between Yaakov and Hashem more than any of the other others, or more than any of the other tzaddikim. Tosfos also points out further that it's one thing to call the Mizbeach, for example, Hashem Nisi or Hashem Shalom or something. It means Hashem is my banner, or Hashem is the one who makes me peace or whatever. But just to call it by Hashem's name without anything else, Kela Lekei Yisrael, seems like an odd thing to do, and therefore that's what bothered the Gemara, and therefore that's why the Gemara is doubtioning it this way. Now, there's a couple of interesting Maimorich Siddurs that talk about the deeper idea behind this. In particular, there's a long, interesting Maimor on it from the Rebbe Maharash, and then there are later Maimorim on it based on it from the later Rebbeim that talk about, we have, for example, is that he brings in that connection, for example, a Medrash that says that just like Hashem creates worlds, the same way that Tzaddikim create worlds. Yeah, well, in that connection, they mention a Gemara in Baba Basra, Siddim Tzaddikim, Shi Yikoru Al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the future, the Tzaddikim are going to be called by Hashem's name. And he develops the idea over there, because we're talking about, you have neshamas of Atzilus, you have high-level tzaddikim, whose neshamas are from Atzilus, and from Atzilus, even on a level that doesn't even have to do with Seder Ishtalshalus, to the point where therefore they really can be identified on a very high level with Elikos, and therefore we can say such things about them. This also fits with, for example, what the Rebbe famously said about the Friedrich Rebbe, and we understand that it means himself also, that the Rebbe is Atzmos and Mahus and a goof. It all fits with this idea that a certain high level neshamas can be called that. They can be. He brings also in this maimer the point that the Alter Rebbe, for example, makes in Tanya, that even, for example, the Eibishter sends a malach on a shlichus, then the malach can be called by Hashem's name, by Yera Elav Hashem. At the beginning of Parshas Vayera, the Ramban explains over there that it means the malachim, since the malachim are being sent by Hashem, then for that purpose they can be called Hashem. So that's what we're saying. In other words, that we're saying that there's very high level tzaddikim, the Shomas Dat Silos, that can be called by that name. And then the Mirab Marash goes on in that Maimer to develop the point. So why is it only Lasid Lavoi? Why is it not now that way? And here we see that Yaakov Avinu is already, in his time, is already on that level of Lasid Lavoi. And therefore we're saying that the Eivishter called him Kael. Mirab Marash is a Maimer from Tafir Shalom and Gimel by Yatsav Shom Mizbeach. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, of Ches Nissen. So the Rebbe was talking, this is from the famous Sicha, today is Chof Ches Nissen, is the day when the Rebbe said, I've done everything I can, and now it's up to you, Chzidim, to bring Mashiach. So in that sicha, the Rebbe says, Yehi Ratzin, that at some point there should be found, Sof Kol Sof, there should be 10 Jews who action zich, that they have to work on Hashem, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we find the pasuk Ki Am Ke'orav Hu, that the Moshe says about the Jewish people, that we're stubborn, stiff-necked people. But there's an advantage in that. He's asking for mechila for the Jewish people. He's not saying they're stiff-necked, but still forgive them. But because Am Ke'orav Hu V'salachto La'vanenu L'chatzenu N'chatanu, because there's that positive Ke'orav that can be used to action Zechayin and demand by the Eibishter to bring the Geula, to actually bring it B'poil Mam Teiko from Yad Ma'ush. And then the Rebbe continued, in that sicha, for my contribution to making that pa'ula happen sooner, will be to happen as fast as possible. Then he's going to give each person a shlichus mitzvah. He's going to give every person a dollar after that sicha. And now, famously, the Rebbe says, I've done my part, and now you have to do kol hashav yicholtechem, everything that you can do. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos, whether it's a living tree, whether it's dried up, even if you're not shaking it. If you shake it anyway, there's an issue of muktzeh involved. As far as leaning on it, the Alter Rebbe says, actually, if it's a weak tree where leaning on it is going to move it, then you can't. But if it's a strong tree, then you could lean against it. That's not considered using. So it means, among other things, you can't climb it on Shabbos. You can't hang on it. You can't put anything on a tree or take it off, tie an animal to it, etc. You're not even allowed to use the sides of the tree. So, and the sides doesn't just mean the actual sides like the trunk. It includes, for example, you have, let's say, a basket hanging on a branch of the tree, or an example also might be a swing hanging from a tree. Then you're not allowed to use it because that basket or swing is called Sidya Ha'ilah. On the other hand, though, what you have is if you have, let's say, a peg stuck into the tree and a basket hanging from that peg, then you're allowed to. The basket is tzidei tzedod. You wouldn't be allowed to take off the basket itself, because that would be tzidei, but you are allowed to use the basket. So an example, as far as a swing, might be if you have something attached to the branch and then you have the swing attached to it. I don't know, actually, maybe the chains themselves count as something else, and then the seed of the swing counts as tzidei tzedodim. I'm not sure about that. My understanding is that it's actually the whole swing, chains and all, is concluded. It's considered Sdodin. You can't, but I may be incorrect on that. What? Sdodin would mean sides of sides. So you have, to give the example that he gave over here, you have a peg that's knocked into the tree, and then you have a basket hanging from the peg. You're allowed to take things out of the basket on Shabbos. That's an appendage of an appendage, basically, yeah. So whether a swing counts as Sdodin or Sdodin, I'm actually not sure. I guess we have a Rav over here. We can ask him, or what? The issue is because the Chachamim were concerned that you might break off a branch from the tree on Shabbos. So therefore, they extended that to the extent that you can't use the tree or its dudin at all because of that concern that you might break something off. That would be pruning. That would be the malacha of Zoyma. That would be the Zoyma, which is a tolda of Potzer. Yeah.
It's a good kira that sometimes the grill is built such a way that the swing goes together with that.
Right.
So it's one thing. That too.
Right.
What is should be a secondary thing,
mm-hmm. But it's one hemshech, so it's more likely to be tzedodin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should go, yeah.